Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the planning voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
I thought you might go with transatlantic.
We've done it before.
Ah.
Yes.
We've kind of used them all now. There's not many words left in the dictionary for us.
We've definitely used that one before, but you are planning. You have an itinerary.
Planning and plotting, yes. All dependent on Boris, though, and what happens this month. Obviously, May 17th seems like it's quite a big day. And is it a traffic light system, isn't it? This green, amber, red. So I'm hoping USA is green.
Okay. Wow. Big plans.
Hopefully. Well, yes, I'm looking. Obviously, one of the lads that I do work with, Jonathan Bond, out at the Galaxy, doing very well. They did lose last night as of time of recording, but they have won two of their first three. He's doing very well on a personal note. And a couple of other lads on over there, Brandon Austin, who, of course, another English lad who's out there playing for Orlando. And I've got to know a few of the teams over there, so I'm planning on getting myself over there for a week, try and watch a few of the games, maybe try and muscle my way into some of the training camps if I can, watch them train. So that's the plan.
When you say you've got to know a few of the teams over there.
The goalkeeper coaches in particular. So
okay.
Where possible. The problem is that it's not quite the same as here, where maybe like one day I could go to a certain place, then drive half an hour and go to another place the next day. It's obviously flights everywhere you want to go. But for instance, I have got to know the goalkeeper coach into Miami. Mark Mason, of course, ex-England women with Phil Neville, has gone over to Miami with them. So I'm keen to go and watch a Miami game if I can. LA Galaxy for obvious reasons. Orlando for obvious reasons. A couple of other coaches as well. The American goalkeeper coach, Aaron Hyde, who's also a Brit who is over there, who, if possible, would be great to catch up with him. So I'm just trying to figure it out. But my planning hasn't gone so well so far, if I'm honest. And big reason for that is my stupidity.
Which is, go on.
Which is, I've written this all out and it looks really nice. So on the 19th, I fly to Los Angeles, watch the Galaxy on the 20th, 21st, I watch them train, 22nd, fly to Orlando, et cetera, et cetera. So I've got it all mapped out. Perfect. So then I've straight away text Bondi, said, look, good news, this is what I'm looking at doing. He said, well, our game is on the 19th. I was like, no, it's not. So I screen grabbed 2 a.m. on the 20th. You know what I've done.
Oh, my word.
Yeah,
two in the morning.
I hadn't even considered. it might be something to do with the time difference. So actually, all these plans that I've got in front of me, they're all English times. So the games aren't on the days that I thought they're on. They're actually all the day before. So I just need to rip this up and start again, basically. So I was going to keep that between me and Bondi, but I thought you might enjoy that because that's the kind of thing I would rip other people for.
So I should have said the disorganized voice of goalkeeping or the ridiculously stupid voice of goalkeeping.
You should. You could imagine I would have booked my flight and realised I landed just as the game finished. But yeah, no, thankfully I am now aware of the mistake that I made. So if Boris gives us the green light, then hopefully my planning will be that little bit better. I don't know how we're going to do a pod when I'm over there. I think we'll have to go back to doing maybe a Zoom type pod, I guess.
Okay, not a problem.
We've done
it once, we will do it again.
Absolutely.
Now, name me some MLS franchises while we're at it, because you said you've become familiar with the team. So instantly, I thought, oh, a chance for a quiz. So go on, give me the Eastern Conference.
Oh, okay.
How many you got in locker?
No, you're challenging me. Well, Eastern will be, what, New York Red Bulls, will be New York City, would be Orlando, would be into Miami, would be, let me think, Chicago. That'll be East, won't it, I would guess.
Correct.
Toronto would also be East. I'm thinking, oh, this is quite a quiz. Do Jacksonville have a team, or have I just made that up?
Jacksonville are NFL, so Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't believe Jacksonville have an MLS team.
No, let me think. No, Kansas are West, I'm guessing. Let's do West. So you've then got Seattle, you've got Galaxy, you've got LAFC, you've got Vancouver. Montreal, does that sit east or west? I'm not sure. This is more geography than MLS.
I know you're not giving me the teams, you're just naming places, but I'm impressed. Montreal is east. Yeah. But yes, your geography's not as bad. Houston Dynamos, of course, in there. Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yeah.
Sporting Kansas.
Columbus, where are they?
Many, many.
Columbus.
Columbus seem to be in the Eastern Conference. Yes, they are 10th in the Eastern Conference.
Well, there you go.
Plenty more answers on a postcard, please.
Absolutely. There you go. Started off with a bit of geography this week. Fantastic.
Just a quick word on Bondi before we go, because he did move over, didn't he, from West Brom in the January window, after Sam Allardyce came in. And he started life well.
Really well. Yeah, they love a stat over there. So he's currently top of saves. He's made 15 saves. Galaxy have faced a lot of shots, it's fair to say. But they did. They won the first two games away into Miami, the first game, at home to Red Bulls, the second game. They did, however, lose to Seattle, who are very strong. But again, he had plenty to do and made a really good name for himself already out there. Lots of positivity on the socials, which is nice to see. And certainly it's an interesting one for him in that, for those that do know him over here, he is a goalkeeper that you'd look at and he's got all the attributes. Of course, no one's really seen that while he's been at West Brom. You know, he's certainly not played the number of games that he would have wanted to have played for them. So it is a real opportunity for him to really establish himself as a number one in a top league.
Good stuff. Okay, we've got a few bits and pieces coming up in the show. Not loads of goalkeeping action, but it's all setting itself up nicely, isn't it, for next weekend and a few important games. But Premier League and EFL action coming up. If you'd like to get in touch, that's very easy to do so on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. It is on Twitter, yes. We're on Twitter. We're on. Are we on Instagram as well?
Not really. But not really. But okay. You know the Twitter handle. Come on.
I do. It is at GK Union.
On email.
Hello@goalkeepersunion.net.
Correct. And our brand new phone number, which you can't remember, of course. So don't worry. I'll do that one. And it's not so brand new now, is it? I don't know why I keep saying that.
Not really. Still get plenty of correspondence, though.
Yeah, yeah. Some good WhatsApp, some good texts.
Excellent.
Loving it. Some good videos as well on there.
Okay. Do I ask?
All goalkeeping based.
Okay.
075-03-673-020. On with the show.
Let's do it.
Premier League as ever to begin with. Richard, Chelsea 2, Fulham 0. And Edouard Mendy with a couple of good saves in this one. A good top-hand save from Anthony Robinson. And then a great save from Olaino. It was a deflected effort off Reece James.
Yeah, three big saves in this game, has to be said. Even the one low down to his right, I thought was a very, very good save. Positioning, the speed at which he got down, a big, strong parry. But again, I feel like he wasn't quite given the credit. Certainly the commentary that I watched didn't really go into too much detail on either save. But the top-hand save certainly used every inch of that frame. Great athleticism to get himself up and make the save, which was heading into the top corner. But the deflected save, I thought, was brilliant. The fact that he's moving to his right and he's been able to show the balance and athleticism to get back to his left. Not only that, get a big hand and enough of a parry. I don't really know how he's got the power to get the parry and get it away from the onrushing strikers. And at the time, it was 1-0. Crucial, crucial save. And certainly Fulham, I think, will feel a bit hard done by. They didn't get anything out of this game based on Mendy's performance.
Yep, they will. And Alphonse Areola, as ever, doing his best to keep them in the game.
Yeah, really good save to his right. Sprawling save, one that he had to move incredibly quickly to his right. Predicted where the ball was going to go. Down sharply. Excellent save. But in the end, didn't count for all that much, unfortunately.
Interesting to see what he's going to do next season as well, because likely that Fulham will go down. He is quite clearly a top-end goalkeeper. So interesting to see what he does.
It is. I think realistically, Fulham go back to the Championship, you'd feel that Marek Rodak would be the starting goalkeeper in the Championship, given that he's got promotion from the Championship before. You almost feel a bit sorry for Marek Rodak, that someone of Areola's quality has come in and hasn't given him the opportunity in the Premier League that arguably last season should have awarded him. So no, I've got no doubt he will be the number one in the Championship. And as you say, Areola, I think with the quality that he's got, we will see him elsewhere.
Bettinelli going back as well, I'm presuming, because he's only on loan at Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the situation is with Bettinelli, his contract situation, whether he has still got a year left on his contract or whether it's an option, I'm not too sure. But you get the impression, the fact that he's gone out on loan at Middlesbrough, it's unlikely that he'll come back into the Fulham fold. But again, I'm just speculating from what I can see from my perspective. But my gut would say that we'll see him in the Championship, likely starting at another team.
Everton 1, Aston Villa 2, Emi Martinez with a decent save from a Dominic Calvert-Lewin diving header. Maybe a couple of question marks about the goal. Maybe, I don't know. Jordan Pickford with a decent performance too, and a lovely save, a double save really, from Bertrand Traore.
Yeah, we'll start with, well, plenty of positives in this game for the goalkeepers, but certainly that double save that you mentioned, and it was just the footwork, brilliant footwork from Pickford. So makes the initial save, the speed at which he gets back into his goal, because it's an excellent attempt that's kind of going over him. It's a really unusual save that you'd have to make where you're backpedaling, so he's having to get his footwork right and then having to explode in order to get the spring. And actually, if anything, because of the momentum that he's got and the way in which he's able to time the dive, he gets such height when he actually makes the save and claws it away. It's a beautiful looking save, brilliant save, and as you say, a very solid performance from Jordan Pickford. And Martinez, yeah, excellent reaction save. Interestingly, on both the save and the goal, he sets quite low and it works for him with a reaction save where the ball's coming from a slightly lower place and he is quite low himself and he makes a good save, good parry to get enough distance on it to get it out of play. But then similarly with the goal, he isn't able to come for the cross. He's getting involved with the man in front of him, turns and sets in a good position, but is also quite low. And so when he faces the header, he's arguably not quite tall enough or high enough in order to react and make the save, and it beats him above him.
You thought the same as well for Villa's opener from Ollie Watkins. Take nothing away from Ollie Watkins to muscle off Mason Holgate from the ball and finish well. And we're not criticising Jordan Pickford here at all. That's not what we're doing. Sometimes in these scenarios, you look at it and go, here's what the goalkeeper maybe could have done different to possibly save it.
Yeah, it's a tricky one because I think that, and he's made the right decision in order to come and engage. The problem is he doesn't quite get close enough in order to spread. And I think at point of impact, he isn't quite able to make the shape that he would wanted to have made. So I think if you were to pause it the moment that Watkins actually finishes, he is still in midair and really is only going to be able to save it with his foot at best. And in the end, Watkins just needs to get it past him and it ends up in the back of the net. In terms of what else he might have done, he could have stayed where he was and turned it into a shooting situation, or maybe have just held his ground when he got there and tried to create a slightly different shape. But it's so tough because it's all happening in a split second. And look, he could have done something completely different. For instance, stopped and Watkins would have gone round him, or made it into a shooting situation and Watkins might have just placed it in a corner anyway. So I think in the end, Pickford, who has always been very good at coming out and spreading, has tried to do exactly that, but just didn't quite time it as he wanted to.
That save, just to go back to it, from Bertrand Traoré, that's one of those, I was watching that. You know, occasionally a save just makes you deliver an involuntary grunt of some sort. It was one of them, like, oh, yeah. Just, oh, how's that happened? Brilliant save. And dare I say it, we are just a few weeks away from the Euros now. Pickford, who had a bit of time out of the team, Robin Olsen came in for a period, didn't he, this season, just starting to show that form that no doubt will make him England's number one in the summer.
Yeah, I think he was always going to be number one this summer. I mean, look, it's easy to say this now where he is in good form. But I feel that, you know, obviously Pope came in and played the couple of games for England and I thought he did very well personally. But the fact that the narrative surrounding that was that his feet weren't quite up to scratch and that Jordan Pickford, whenever he's played for England, ordinarily has put in solid performances, I think it was always going to be the case. But of course, it's nice for England fans to see that we've got a goalkeeper that will be going into the tournament in good form.
The power of recency.
There you go. Something I am very, very big on, as you all know.
Just to finish on the Premier League, good save from Edison in Manchester City's win. Quite an easy win, really, against Crystal Palace. That was from Benteke at 0-0. But let's talk about Matty Ryan at Arsenal. Another case of the old hokey-cokey keepers here at the Gunners.
Interesting, of course, quite a lot made of the mistake that Bernd Leno made in his last outing. And the fact that he's come in now, kept the clean sheet that he's kept, it will be fascinating to see how it plays out for the rest of this season now. And for Matty Ryan, it's a really big time for him because we don't know what the future holds for him. You know, it's very much up in the air. No doubt you get the impression he'd want to earn a contract at Arsenal moving forward if he could. But of course, we're at this period of the season where there are a few stories circulating. No doubt as soon as the season finishes, there are going to be loads of stories circulating. Arsenal, no doubt, will be very much in the press as to who they're going to be looking for goalkeeper-wise. Is it Matt Ryan or is it somebody else? Similarly, Manchester United, those conversations are no doubt going to take place. There's quite a few other teams as well, top teams that will be looking for something in the goalkeeping department. So I've got no doubt that the likes of Matt Ryan, Tom Heaton, no doubt, and several others will be names that we're going to be hearing a lot of in the coming weeks. Okay, Premier League done. Now on to this.
Yes, it is the Championship rundown. And Jamal Blackman, Richard, the hero for Rotherham with two big saves. It was a 1-1 draw at home to Blackburn. First, a poor from Bradley Johnson header. And then there was a 1-on-1 late on at one apiece. And if the goal had gone in, it would have been quite a difficult escape. Maybe they couldn't have even stayed up. I'm not sure. They've got a game this week, haven't they? Which is huge now before the weekend's games. But a 1-on-1 with Adam Armstrong, good save.
No, a huge point, first and foremost. As you say, regardless now what happens midweek, they do have a chance going into the final game. Of course, if they win midweek, then you'd argue they're in the driving seat going into the final game of the season. But yeah, no, brilliant performance. Certainly the save top left. Excellent save from such close distance. Point blank is the expression that I'll use for this one. But just the athleticism he showed to get up to his left to make the save, very, very good. For me, I preferred the second save just for the fact that I thought his movement was excellent. One-on-one, going to his left, made himself so, so big and actually showed good reactions as well as he got down to his left in order to make the save. And as I say, such a valuable point for them. I can't wait for the last day of the season. You know, it's going to be fascinating. Derby taking on Sheffield Wednesday. Of course, Sheffield Wednesday 3 points behind. If they win that, they will overtake Derby, but that might be irrelevant if Rotherham do win their next two games. Just going to be a really, really interesting day.
Yep, and Blackman could well be the hero to keep Rotherham in the division, setting himself up nicely for a loan move away from Chelsea next season, no doubt.
Indeed, indeed. And then, do you think he could do a whole career of loan moves? What do you think?
Just keep signing for Chelsea,
yeah,
but live your whole career elsewhere.
Absolutely.
Goalless at Hillsborough, one of the other teams in the mire there between Sheffield Wednesday and Nottingham Forest. Kieran Westwood conceding a blatant penalty by bringing down Anthony Knockaert and then saving the penalty from Lewis Grabban, but quite funny in his protests. Obviously, you always protest when you give away a penalty, but you could see that Anthony Knockaert was looking at him saying, mate, you've absolutely scythed me down.
If you'd have just seen Kieran Westwood's reaction, you would have been adamant that this couldn't have been a penalty. Like, he was so ferocious in the way in which he approached the referee and so adamant that it wasn't a penalty, but it was the most stonewall penalty you'll ever see. In fairness to him, though, look, talk about big moments in a game, big moments in a season. Of course, Sheffield Wednesday lose this, they are relegated, full stop. So the fact that he's made this save and they now have a fighting chance, the fact that it is them against Derby going into the final game of the season, it's just, I mean, look, most things were done and dusted, certainly in the Championship when it comes to the playoffs, when it comes to the top three, but that really is going to be the talking point going into the final day. And just how big could that save be? And by the way, it was an excellent penalty save. Full stretch to his left, shows great power to get right into the corner. I mean, it's not a brilliant penalty, but it's certainly not a bad penalty. It is going in the corner, and it does need Kieran Westwood to go full stretch and get that big left hand. Brilliant save, could be a huge moment.
David Raya, a couple of good saves as Brentford beat Watford. The tip onto the bar from Isaac Success, the pick of the bunch.
Yeah, it was. It's something we say about David Raya a lot when it comes to him and his reactions. You know, we talk about speed of goalkeepers. We'll often associate that with a Hugo Lloris, for instance. But I think David Raya is up there, if not even quicker, when it comes to his reactions, because how he's moved his body, how he's moved his arms as quickly as he has to get that fingertip, make the save, absolutely brilliant.
Jordan Archer, yet again enhancing his chances of maybe bagging a new deal at Middlesbrough next season. They drew with Luton and he saved a penalty from James Collins.
He did, yeah. Very good save down to his left. Went quite early. It wasn't a great penalty, it's fair to say, but he's read the situation very well. And as you say, there's very little more I feel he could have done in order to earn a contract. So again, it'll be very interesting with the Middlesbrough situation, given that he's been the number two for most of the season. Of course, he's out of contract. You've got Bettinelli, who's only on loan. So no doubt there will be plenty going on in the goalkeeping department at Middlesbrough this summer.
Lovely stuff. I just want to focus on two more goalkeepers because interesting when goalkeepers come in at the end of the season who perhaps haven't played as much and it's almost a case of, here you go, here's a run out, get some minutes under your belt. And Zach Gcock was one of those, given a run out for Birmingham against Cardiff. Now, he made his pro debut on the opening day of the season, didn't he, when they beat Brentford, quite amazingly when you consider where the two teams have ended up this season. He's had to wait for the penultimate game of the season for his next game. You might think he would have wished to have not had Cardiff and the performance that Birmingham put in. It was a difficult game for him. Only 19. Interesting to see what Lee Bowyer does with him next term.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, brilliant performance early on in the season. Then he had the injury as well that's kept him out for a long time. And of course, the signing of Neil Etheridge has meant that he's been pretty much number one for the entire season. So no doubt Lee Bowyer will be doing this just to see who else he's got in his goalkeeping ranks. Of course, he's got Connell Truman as well. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see him on the final day of the season as well, just so Lee Bowyer can get a little bit of a feel as to what his goalkeeping options are. But in terms of the performance, I felt a bit sorry for him, really, because I don't think he's got much chance in the first three. I mean, the first one, he's miles out of position, but not his own fault by any means. It's a brilliant finish, unbelievable finish from Harry Wilson. The only one I'd question him for would be the final one, purely for the fact that it is a free kick, it is his side. And this is maybe more of a personal belief than anything, but certainly if you're lining up a wall, there's a reason you've lined up that wall. And for me, it's very much that you protect your own side. And as I always say, if you get it up, down, over the wall and in the corner, there's not a great deal you can do.
What do you say? What is it that you say?
You know exactly what I say. It rolls off the tongue. Rolls off the tongue.
I've actually got a few issues with that. No, I haven't got a few issues with it at all. I've got, there's one thing that I think of when you say it. You always say if you get it up, down and over.
Yeah.
Surely it's if you get it up, over and down.
Up, down and over. Oh, yeah.
So you need to get it up, over and then down. If you get it up, down and over, I mean, you're a miracle worker.
The problem we got with that is it's so easy for me to say up, down and over. Whereas actually, if I'm going to say up, over and down, I don't know, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue in the same way. But now you've just made me realize I've been saying that for years, probably since the age of like 15. That was very much my motto.
If incorrect. It's
like, yeah. Up, down and over the wall, then there's not a great deal you can do.
Up, over and down. It sounds like, it was a TV show, wasn't it? Danny McBride,
yeah.
Baseball player, Kenny Powers. What's it called? Eastbound and Down. There you go. Just think of that. You always say this. Mm. You associate remembering things by
linking.
There you go. So there you go. Eastbound and down. Up, over and down.
Slight issue. I've got no idea what eastbound and down is.
Okay.
But it has a nice ring to it. I like it. Okay, so where were we? G-cock. Yes. So what was my point? Yeah, it didn't go over the wall, basically. It did go in his side. So I think if he were to look at that again, there was a slight movement to his left, which then makes it that much more difficult. But I think for me, it is that one. Similar to Kaminsky, by the way. No one would have said anything about the Kaminsky goal that he conceded against Rotherham. But similarly, he's just crept behind the wall as it's being taken, and it's gone in quite easily in the other corner. And it's similar with this one. For me, look, as hard as it is, I think it's just a case of holding your position until the ball has been struck. And if it does go over the wall and it goes in the corner, more often than not, certainly on this show, you're never going to get blamed. I think if it goes in your side, there's just always going to be a question mark.
Okay, one more goalkeeper who did have a run out as well was Max O'Leary. Has played a few times this season, to be fair, more so than G-cock at Bristol City. Only his third league appearance. And sadly, he was behind some rather shambolic defending as Millwall thumped City 4-1. But again, this is just something we're seeing, not in the Championship, but throughout the EFL, really, and the Premier League, I suppose, if you chuck Matty Ryan into that mix too, of goalkeepers coming in at the end of the season and getting some minutes.
Yeah, it happened to me when I was younger. My first four games as a professional, three of them from memory were the back end of the season when we were mid-table and nothing to play for, because it is an opportunity to give those minutes to players that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to just throw on for 10 minutes.
And does that game. Does that help? Did that help you at the time?
I mean, it was huge at the time. Yeah, because it was realistically, where is that opportunity going to come from if it's not in dead rubbers? You know, if you're a goalkeeper, if you're in the hunt for playoffs or relegation or whatever it might be, then you need to be putting out your strongest team week in, week out. So, yeah, for me, the fact that we had nothing to play for, it was perfect. And I still remember those games even now, because as a young goalkeeper, you're still going to be very nervous going into those games more often than not. And they mean so much to you, even if they don't mean too much for the fans, for instance. So from memory, actually, I got to play against Derby. I remember we beat them 2-0. Ravanelli played for Derby and made a full stretch save from him to my right. I remember that. And then we played Sheffield United final day. I mean, I kept three clean sheets in those four games. One away at Selhurst Park as well, Crystal Palace, 1-0 win. But that's it. I remember those first four games, you know, the other 200 or so. I
don't remember. Horrendous.
No, it's dreadful. Dreadful, which I put down to concussion. But I don't remember barely any games that I played. But I remember those first four because they mean that much. So for the likes of a G-cock, for some of these others that we touched on that are getting their opportunity, this really is quite often a sink or swim. And there's so much pressure on these young goalkeepers when you're playing these games because, as I touched on, the likes of a Lee Bowyer will be making decisions now on whether he's going to bring in another goalkeeper next season, no doubt. So has G-cock done enough in that game for him to know that, okay, he's going to be more than good enough to be my number two, for instance, behind Neil Etheridge next season or not? And again, only Lee Bowyer or the manager in question will know that. But that's where these are really good opportunities for the young goalkeepers to get some minutes.
Best of the rest from the EFL.
Absolutely.
Not too much to react on, but Joe Bursic, first and foremost, in the celebrations for Peterborough. Great experience for him. We should say it was never in a million years a penalty on Sammy Smodics to award them promotion. What the referee was playing at, who knows? But still, great for Bursic, great for Peterborough, not so great for Lincoln.
Yeah, I mean, to touch on that. And I don't feel enough's been made of this in that Lincoln, if they win this game, which they should have. I mean, the fact that it was given was a disgrace, so they should have. I think then I'm right in saying it's 4 points and Lincoln still have two games to go. Lincoln have a game this week. It could have been a point difference between the two teams going into the final game of the season. And from memory, I think Peterborough would have had Doncaster, which certainly isn't the easiest of games, who they'd have had to have beaten in order to have secured second spot. So I can imagine if you're a Lincoln fan, you're absolutely devastated by this outcome. Be interested to see how they pick themselves up and go again in the playoffs. But yeah, certainly for Peterborough and for Joe Bursic, I mean, from his point of view, for a 20-year-old goalkeeper to have gone on loan to Doncaster initially, you know, they were very much at the top of the league when he left there to go back to Stoke, really established himself in the Stoke team. It was, of course, only the likes of Angus Gunn and Adam Davis coming back from injury that meant that he was then out of the team. And, of course, then going to Peterborough on emergency loan and helping him get promotion. I don't think it gets much better for a 20-year-old goalkeeper.
And according to Barry Fry, he has been slapped with a £30 million price tag from Stoke. So could we see him in the Premier League next season?
Who knows? Stranger things have happened. I think certainly if you're a Stoke fan, you're just keen to see how he develops with Stoke. But it'll be really interesting even there, where they have, of course, got Adam Davis, who's been very good this season. Certainly will be in the running, I'm sure, for Stoke's player of the season. So what do you do when you've got two goalkeepers like that? One who is young coming through, do you loan him out again? Or do you just have it as a straight fight between the two?
FC Wimbledon were comfortably beaten by Portsmouth, but there's just one bit of goalkeeping from Nick Zanoff worth flagging here. And this is sometimes why we do, well, this is why we do the podcast, really, just to flag the goalkeeping that maybe goes a bit unnoticed. It was good work to deny John Marquis, who was clean through, and then he recovered to also deny Harvey White.
Yeah, brilliant double save. Just intelligent, I think, because he's had to cover so much ground, but there's a lot of decisions within the double save. So initially coming out to make the first one-on-one save, and even that, it wasn't a case just rushing out and throwing himself. He's been quite measured in his movement in order to come to his right and make the save. He's then decided to drop to turn it into a shot-stopping situation, but when the ball's then moved right, he then turns it into a one-on-one situation once again because of his speed of feet and getting himself into the optimum position, and then makes a brilliant save for it to go just wide of the post. So it was just the fact that you could look at it and just say that it's two block saves effectively, but there's so much else that goes on within that, so many decisions that he's got to make within that, and I thought he made them brilliantly.
Couple of unfortunate slips to finish in League One. Jonathan Mitchell from Blackpool's Ellis Sims as Northampton return from whence they came. League Two football for the Cobblers next season. And while Ipswich saw off Swindon, David Cornell let Brett Pittman's weak strike somehow slip in.
Yeah, a couple of frustrating moments. I think for Johnny Mitchell, both goals, or two of the goals, sorry, of the three, I'm sure that he'd be a little bit disappointed with. One that was on the angle, it was more just the angle of his dive. You know, it has gone right in the corner, but the fact that he has effectively dived backwards meant that he wasn't able to get a hand to this. I just wonder if he was a little bit more aggressive with his dive, whether he could have got a decent hand to this. And the second one, in fairness to him, the pitch looked horrendous, but it just looked like a decision as to whether you go with a cup technique or twist the hands and turn it into a dive. It was just outside the line of the body, never had the protection behind it. It squirmed through, and it's not a particularly nice one to see again. And similarly with Cornell, it's just outside the line, and he's kind of gone for that pickup technique as opposed to collapsing down to his left. And when you haven't got that protection, you're reliant on such good coordination in order to pick the ball up. And quite often we see a similar result to this where it just squirms through.
And a similar scenario too in League Two with Barrow's Joel Dixon as they lost to Southend. The weekend of the slip-in, if you will.
Yeah, this is a frustrating one for him, and certain similarities to the one we touched on a week or two back with Alex Smithies, where it's a shot from distance, it's dipped, he's gone for a cup technique. At the moment, it's then dropped that little bit further. Again, it just becomes the hands, and you need really good coordination in order to make the save. And in the end, he hasn't really got anything behind it, and it has squirmed through, and it doesn't look particularly good. So I'm sure he'll hold his hands up to this one.
Perhaps they've got a case of the old Richard Lee light-headedness. From the last podcast. I mean, you have sent me a picture of your arm just to send proof. Ridiculous.
No, because I had like quite a substantial bruise on my arm, it's fair to say.
Bless you.
Quite a substantial bruise. So for those who didn't listen in, I did have my blood taken. I did faint. And I just wanted to make the point that three attempts they had to get my blood, that's the point. And the bruise was quite hefty.
We've had some great correspondence, actually, and haven't we, from David Button, the West Brom number two. Yeah. Who says, apparently, this is not the first time that you felt a bit faint.
No, and I'd forgotten all about this. He actually sent me a picture of a similar situation at Brentford a few years ago, and I'd forgotten about it. But essentially, it's just me lying on the floor with my legs up in the air on a seat, and I look pale white. And it was him and Jack Bonham that were taking pictures of me at the time. So I actually forwarded the picture to Jack Bonham and he just responded with like 12 laughing faces because it brought back a very funny memory for him. But yeah, it turns out that it's quite a regular occurrence. I'd forgotten about the Brentford.
So what happened? Completely. Did you faint? Was it a faint?
Yeah, I fainted. Yeah. It was the same thing at Brentford where we had blood tests all the time. And from memory, look, if you get it right the first time, I don't faint. It's when it takes several efforts to then get the blood. But Jack did make the comment that the older you get, the harder the veins are to find, apparently. So maybe it's something to do with that.
Gosh, when I first met you, I thought, God, this ex-Premier League goalkeeper, a real, you know, real pillar of a man. And you're just, bits of you are breaking away as time goes on.
It's horrendous. You know, the amount of operations I've had to have in order for me to be sat here opposite you right now. And yeah, I'm as brittle as they come. Don't you worry about that. This, in fact, it's a really good message to all you young budding goalkeepers out there. This is what you have to come.
True, but it's also a message to listen. We want to encourage people to be goalkeepers.
No, we do.
Yoga is one thing, right?
Yeah, true. And look, even now, I'm still able to play golf and tennis. In fact, we played last night. I won 6-1. So, despite the fact that I'm not feeling great, you know, I have won all five games against you, for instance, this year so far. So, yeah, physically not in a great place, but. You know, I think I've only conceded a combined maybe 12 or 13 games in five sets against you. So I guess you can take positives from that.
Not played in about 30 years. So, you know, just getting my groove back. And to be fair, it's a bit hard playing against you because of your John McEnroe antics. I think we should let the listeners know about this, to be fair.
I don't like to lose. This is true. And it's not anger at you, though, is it? It's anger at myself.
It's anger at yourself. But it makes things very difficult when you're trying to play a game of tennis. And when you are beating someone... And then they start throwing their racket, they're kicking balls against the net. And you think, all right, I need to show him a bit of mercy here and let him have a game or two. And then it gets in your head and then you lose.
Ah, you see, that's where you've gone wrong. Mm. Winner's mentality, show no mercy.
We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak.
Great quote.
Name the film.
Oh, I had no idea it was a film.
Really?
No.
Fear does not exist in this Goalkeepers Union podcast, does it?
Okay, go on, name the film.
Karate Kid, come on.
Oh, okay.
John Kreese.
Oh, yeah, that really is your era, isn't it? Unbelievable memory.
Two penalty saves to speak of to finish in League Two. Lawrence Vigouroux with another one, this time from Afrande Zanzala of Carlisle. And in the same game, Magnus Norman, just like Kieran Westwood, conceded a pen and then saved a pen. This one from Dan Kemp.
Mm. Lawrence Vigouroux loves a penalty save, doesn't
he? Does.
That's kind of like classic Vigouroux. Quite a comfortable save for him, it's fair to say, but did well, read it well, and held onto the ball, which is always very nice as well. But Norman, no, really good save. He'd be disappointed, I think, with the penalty he actually gave away because it is right on the corner of the box. Whether he needed to collide in the way that he did, I'm not too sure, but certainly made up for it with a save. Brilliant save to his left, explosive, covered the goal, full stretch, very, very good.
And finally, we'll just touch on Jake Eastwood. Went on loan to Kilmarnock at the start of the season, then went on loan to Grimsby midway through the season, has had a real difficulty with injuries. Got a game at the weekend, but off after 60 minutes. A tough season for him.
Yeah, frustrating one for Jake. So went to Kilmarnock to be number one. Started the first game, as you mentioned, came off at half time with, in the end, what was quite a serious thigh injury. But he's fully fit from that now. But similarly, had a bit of a setback when he went to Grimsby. So missed a number of games, but did play this one. Played very, very well for the 60 minutes and then got concussion. So I think it's just one of them for him in that if you ever want a season just to finish and start afresh, I think it's certainly one of them for Jake. In that the games he's played very, very well in. However, it just hasn't been his season whatsoever. So I'm sure he'll be happy to draw a line under it and go again next season. Clean Sheet Club. Okay, the first rule about Clean Sheet Club is that you do not talk about Clean Sheet Club. The second rule about Clean Sheet Club is that you do not talk about Clean Sheet Club. Can you name the film, Matthew?
I can, yes, indeed. Fight Club.
Indeed, and I am very much the Brad Pitt in this scenario, and you are very much the... Was it Ed Norton?
You don't even know the actors.
I don't know who it is.
No, it is, though, you're correct. Yes.
You look a little bit more like Danny DeVito if I were to try and pin an actor on you. This is the beauty of this, actually. No one knows what you look like. No one knows what you look like. I could position you and picture you to be anyone right now.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Mm. Go on then, create a persona for me.
I'm not sure. I've said Danny DeVito, but that's probably a little bit not quite accurate, is it really, for a few reasons.
It's a bit harsh.
A little bit harsh.
Yeah.
On. Let's just do it. Clean Sheet Club. Edison first in all competitions in just under a month. Robert Sanchez 4-6 for the Spanish stopper. Edouard Mendy 9 in not so unlucky 13. Matty Ryan first for the Gunners and first since early November. Hugo Lloris ever present and ever the shutout star. Kieran Westwood 2-3. Brees Samba dancing to the clean sheet beat. Dylan Phillips, don't you know, things have changed, things have gone his way because he held on for one more game. David Raya, hip hip hooraya for 6-7. Dan Everson, 4. Dan the Dane with a well-kept quartet. Senny Dieng, first since 2 in a row at the start of March. David Stockdale, 7-16 since stepping in clean. Will Jaskalainen, semi-skimmed Finn with 5-10. Chris Maxwell, wonderfully washed Welshman with 4-6. Sam Hornby, 6th of the season. Mark Howard, plus 4. That's Mark's marvellous 10th of the term. Shamal George, 2-4. Jake Eastwood, off the mark for the Mariners. Carl Letherin, 2-3. Tom King, Victor Von Doom, needs to watch his back because Tom's totaled a fantastic 4.
Not bad.
Matt, you're going to have to explain a couple of them.
Did you get the song that was in there?
No.
No?
Go on.
Dylan Phillips.
So go on, read it out again.
Don't you know things have changed, things have gone his way because he held on for one more game.
Kind of rings a bell.
You should be singing it really, shouldn't you?
You should. Go on.
Now, I'm very much, this is very much an Elton John, Bernie Taupin relationship here, right? So okay. You are the one that should be singing.
Again, no idea who Bernie Taupin is.
Well, you should, to be fair, that's one that you should know because
know
of your
John.
Watford connections.
Yeah, I know Elton.
Okay.
Sounds really big time, but I know Elton John.
Well, Bernie was very much the brains behind the Elton operation, wasn't he?
Right, well, I have seen the film. So now now I get... Right, so that's that guy.
You paid attention to it then.
No, so that's that guy. I know which guy you mean now. The one who actually wrote a lot of the lyrics.
Yes, the one who wrote them.
Right, okay.
Not the brain. I mean, Elton, of course, has the brains to produce the music, but he wrote the lyrics, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Learn something every day.
But the song was Wilson Phillips.
Okay.
Dylan Phillips.
Clever.
Wilson Phillips.
So yeah. Read it as if you'd sing it.
Okay, well, we'll have a clip, shall we?
Let's do it.
Right, let's get onto the table because we've got 1 week left, haven't we? And it's getting indeed. Very, very gritty.
We got Richard. A trophy for the winner, and I've asked you this before.
Well, you've sorted that out, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Okay, that will be happening next week. So there is a top four, potentially a top five. And if this guy sneaks in, it will be staggering. But top of the pile, Josh Griffiths with 21 on 43.
Excellent.
Vaclav Hladký on 21 in 45. Chris Maxwell, 20 on 42. But crucially, Blackpool have 2 games left.
Oh.
So he could get up to 22.
Yeah.
And then Freddie Woodman on 20 in 44. So Josh Griffiths can get to 22. Hladký can get to 22. Maxwell can get to 22. Freddie Woodman out of the running to win it. Quite remarkably, he was leading for so long this season. And down with 18 in 33 is Edison with 4 games left.
Oh.
Could feasibly get to 22.
And given that, of course, they play so fewer games, if he were to get 22, that would be phenomenal. Chris Maxwell as well. Credit to him. Where has he come from? I feel for Freddie Woodman because I think that's the issue. It's like playing golf at the Masters and you're winning for 68 of the 72 holes and all of a sudden the last few holes, someone comes on really, really strong. It kind of feels a bit like that. He's been leading the whole way and how often we see that. Just to hold on can be so difficult.
Just hold on for one more game. There you go.
There you go.
We're not going to factor in the playoffs either. So no. Blackpool, we won't factor in the playoffs. So it literally is the end of next weekend. But Chris Maxwell, 2 games left. All eyes will be on that game on Tuesday at home to Doncaster Rovers.
I'll tell you what, it's all anybody's going to be talking about over this next week.
It's very, very exciting. Oh. I genuinely get excited about this.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look at the tables and you look at what's left. Very exciting.
Really is. Thrilling.
Richard, thank you.
On that bombshell. Thank you, Matthew.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers away.